Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey, friends, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Wiffler, and my co-host Emily Jensen will be joining me soon. But before she does, I have to say, it is hard to believe, but Advent is around the corner. And if you are looking for gift ideas for your kiddos, friends, husband, or mom pals, we have pulled together some of our favorite items in the Risen Motherhood Advent Gift Guide. It is one of the most popular resources we produce each year as we really focus on gifts that have a deeper spiritual meaning for you to give to those you love. Head to risenmotherhood.com/advent for gift ideas as well as helpful resources to equip you to teach your kids about the beauty and meaning of the Advent season. And speaking of gift giving, don't forget that our newest book, Gospel Mom, is officially on shelves and would make a great gift for any mom on your list. We wrote this book with the hope that any mom, whether she's brand new to motherhood or she's raising teens, can pick it up and dive deep into God's word to explore how he's wired her for her unique circumstances and her family. Plus, it even has a companion workbook that's perfect for you to do on your own or with a group of mom pals. Snag your copy anywhere books are sold or head to risenmotherhood.com/gospelmom to learn more. Okay, today we are talking about personal conscience. It's going to be fun. Let's go. So we're talking about one of my favorite topics today.
Ooh.
It is. It's one of my absolute favorite topics because I think it changed my entire paradigm on how not just motherhood, how I look at motherhood, but also at my whole entire life. And the topic is personal conscience.
Ooh, I know. We have talked about this on our show before, and we felt like it was so important to include in Gospel Mom and to include in this series as just one of the foundational principles that we need to know if we're going to live our lives, you know, focused on Christ in light of what Christ has done, and we're going to be walking with him. We have to know what things are clear cut in scripture, what things are, you know, non-negotiable and like black and white, and then what things are more gray areas. We might call it areas of Christian freedom or areas where as Christians, we're going to do things differently. We're going to apply wisdom differently to each of our situations. And I think that those two things can be quite difficult to sort out because there's not only, you know, personal conscience, there's the Holy Spirit at work. There's all these different things that we have to unravel. And so let's dive in.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're going to only have time to skim over what the conscience is and some of the interesting facets about it that apply to our conversation today. So before we do that, we want to encourage you to like go back and listen to those old shows that Emily mentioned, because there are a couple ones that we really dive in deep. And then also, of course, as we're following along with the outline of Gospel Mom, there is a really in-depth chapter where I feel like we spelled some stuff out in very clear ways that hopefully can be helpful if you're sort of listening to this and then still feeling a little bit lost. But I think with the conscience, the first question is kind of like, what is the conscience? You know, is it a magic eight ball? Is it Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder? Mm-hmm. Different things like that. No, it's none of those things, but it is your personal sense. So personal sense being the key word, your personal sense of right and wrong. And I often think of the conscience as sort of that intangible or that strange feeling that you kind of get when you kind of feel like you maybe are doing something wrong. Usually you have no feelings whenever you're doing something right. But if you kind of feel like, oh, I'm engaging in something that I shouldn't be, and maybe you get a pain in your chest or you get a butterfly in your tummy, or you just have a sense about yourself that's kind of like, this feels wrong. And I think with that, the piece there to listen to is that this isn't the exact same as the Holy Spirit, or this isn't exact same as the Bible. So if this is your personal sense of right and wrong, you could be correct. Your conscience could be right when you get that feeling that you're doing something wrong or sinning, but also it could be something where you actually need to be realigning that conscience and to be working through that feeling. And so the biggest thing to remember with the conscience is just to say, hey, this is the little yellow flag that raises up, and you want to look underneath it. You want to say, okay, why am I feeling these things? What does this mean? When it fires off, you kind of can say, is this choice actually wrong biblically? Or is this something that I have an area of freedom in, and start to work through those questions? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to dig into.
Ooh, yeah. And it's interesting to think about how our conscience is formed, because it explains a lot about our personal bias or our personal view of the world and what things are good and what things are bad. And conscience is really formed as we're raised. So a lot of it is, you know, from our family of origin.
What we talked about last show, the unique circumstances stuff. Yeah.
So, you know, what were kind of your house rules growing up? What did your parents teach you as right and wrong? Maybe you didn't even grow up in the Christian faith, and that shaped you in some ways. You know, everything from teachers, people who influenced you, you know, books that you've read, there's all kinds of things. You can also have influences from just like the socioeconomic class that you're in, or the subculture of people that you're in. You know, every group of people that we hang around with has unwritten, unspoken rules of what's good and bad and what's right and wrong. And so we tend to adopt those as our own sense of right and wrong, even within church communities that happens, right? These rules are not like written down anywhere, but there can kind of be a sense of it's good if you live this type of way. It's bad if you live that type of way. It's, you know, good if you worship this type of way. It's bad if you worship this type of way. And we kind of can adopt that. And it really starts to inform us as we approach questions in motherhood. We bring all of that with us to the table. And I think oftentimes we're not aware of it.
Oh, no. No, definitely not. I think this is something that is practiced and learned as you begin to understand what the conscience is. And I think for me, that was where I was saying at the beginning of the show, like it really changed my perspective on things, because I remember whenever we ended up having to bottle feed one of my kiddos, and I just felt like that's so wrong. Like, I don't want to do that. And, you know, of course, like I was reading things and hearing about breast is best and things like that. And so that was informing my conscience. But then other things were playing in, but ultimately it was like, okay, I had to sort that out between what is my personal bias versus what does the word of God say of how to feed a child? And those were kind of different in that situation. And so I think for moms, this is really, really helpful as we seek unity with others, as we work through differences, like we talked about on our last show. And this is also where all of these foundational pieces that we've been talking about with the gospel, the CFRC that we've talked about on the first show or the second show in, the disciplines, the habits, things like that, that's where they all kind of come in. And we're able to start to say, okay, how do I separate my conscience versus what God's good design is, what his commands are for me? And I think that this is an area where we have to learn that Christians can make a variety of different decisions and still honor God. This is where people often say, like, that's the gray area, or, you know, there's a lot of ways to have Christian freedom on this. So, for example, Emily, you were kind of talking about this, but with church, mm-hmm. The New Testament makes it really clear that Christians need to meet together to pray. And yet there's not necessarily like this specific, you have to meet on this date and you need to meet for this amount of time and you have to wear these kind of clothes. And, you know, those kind of things of how it plays out is an area of freedom for every local body. But the idea of attending church regularly, of meeting with people to worship and pray and to hear the preaching of the word, that part's not optional. But we have to kind of sort those things out.
Yeah, definitely. I think too, as we're working through this topic, we're realizing, okay, the concept of biblical wisdom really comes into play here. And, you know, knowledge is having kind of the facts about something. It's knowing something, but wisdom is being able to apply what you know in a variety of different situations in a way that's kind of like makes the most sense for that situation. And those are not like biblical wisdom is not a cookie cutter thing. It's not a super clear, hey, here's a formula, here's right. a handbook. Everybody's going to do the same thing. It's taking, hey, the principles that we talked about in creation, fall, redemption, consummation, and then coming to a situation in your unique circumstances, right? This is how like all the pieces of the puzzle are coming together in your unique circumstance, and then making the best decision that makes the most sense for you and your family at that time, according to God's word. And I think it's so important that as we're doing this, we remember that faith is a huge thing that God wants us to have and grow in, right? He wants us to walk by faith. And so if we had all the answers and we had everything laid out for us, we wouldn't have to walk by faith. We wouldn't have to keep consulting him over and over again. We wouldn't have to keep going to him in prayer. We wouldn't have to keep relying on him because we're dependent and needy and we don't have all the answers and he does. And that's like a good part of the journey is the shaping our conscience, is the calibrating our conscience, is the coming to him over and over again for the things that we need. And I think sometimes we view that as like a frustrating part of the process, but actually it's like a good part of keeping us coming back to him over and over again and not just like, well, I found out the right answer to that. So now I'm never have to talk to God about that again.
Well, and I think what else is interesting about the conscience is, you know, you were talking a little bit about calibrating it. And by that, we just mean as you grow in your knowledge and understanding and you apply biblical wisdom, your conscience becomes more and more aligned with what the word of God actually preaches and teaches. And so while on some areas when your conscience is a little bit off or misfiring, you might think, oh, that's wrong. And like want to hold other people to it. You may want to correct people, to judge them, to kind of bring them into the light. Mm-hmm. But then as you're self-evaluating, you're actually realizing, oh no, there's freedom on this issue. And I think some of the most secure Christians that you see are the people that have really calibrated those consciences closer to the word of God. We'll never be perfect. Like on this side of heaven, we won't get them perfect, but you can get closer and closer. And oftentimes when you see a Christian who seems just very secure in their faith and is still walking in a way that's upright and holy.
They don't seem angsty about what everyone else is doing. Yes. They don't seem like they have to correct everybody in their path. They're just, able to be humble and at peace about their lives.
Yeah. A lot of times those are the people that you can kind of look to be like, oh, okay, like they have sort of gotten what Christian freedom is about because, and they're also not abusing it, right? Yeah. The other danger is that suddenly everything is free and suddenly everything is a gray area. Yeah. And like we're off doing whatever we want.
And we're going to talk about that in a future show. We're going to go through another chapter in the book. We kind of talk about what do you do when your conscience or your choices look different from other moms, because there are passages in scripture that show us we don't use our freedom as a way to, you know, I don't know, trip up other Christians or lord over other Christians. Like we use it to serve and to further purposes of the kingdom. So this is a really big, kind of complex topic and one that we really spent this third part of Gospel Mom, like taking all these pieces and putting them together because they all build on each other.
Correct. And to just wrap it up here, I think the important thing to take home is that the way that you feel about a topic or a situation or a problem in front of you isn't necessarily all the right answer. I think a lot of times we go on feeling that feels right, that feels wrong. And what we want to encourage you to do today is to slow down and say, okay, do I feel like that is wrong because of XYZ reasons in my life or because I'm shaped. I mean, Emily and I, you and I talk a lot like, well, I feel this way because, and I mean, I think it's like kind of trendy right now, right? Is that we like kind of work through our feelings and think through what has happened in my life to make me feel this way. So that is a really good practice. And yet we want to get to the next level of like, okay, but what does God's word say? So it's not just like, why do I feel this way? But then comparing that to the word of God and saying, is that what he says? Or is this an area where there's freedom and I can relax both in feeling like pressure to do something or perform, or to feel like I have to get others to that same spot.
Okay, Laura, what was your favorite part of this chapter?
Okay. I loved that we actually tackled Halloween.
You love talking about those things. Divisive things.
I love divisive topics. No. Emily keeps me off of those. No, just kidding.
Oh, that's funny.
But I loved that we tackled something that is truly divisive. You know, if you look on the internet anywhere, moms are up in arms about Halloween and there are good arguments and bad arguments, but it's something where I like how we walked through it really methodically about why one mom might feel like she can engage in Halloween and one mom might feel like she can't. And then we also talked about how the mom who maybe felt like she couldn't, like, what does it look like for her conscience to change on that? And I think it's just a really great picture of how we can grow in motherhood and how we're never stuck or, you know, I think there's no shame in kind of saying, okay, I want to honor my conscience with where I'm at today. And yet I can see like there are other good ways of doing life and raising children and engaging in things. And so I think that that was just a great example that we tackled and I feel kind of proud of what we did.
And spoiler, we did not like take a side or solve any problems in there. So you still get to make whatever decision you feel is right to make. But it was good to go through something that kind of feels like, ooh, I don't really know, and illustrate how moms can be thinking about a topic differently and be aiming to honor God in the way that they're thinking about it. I think something I liked was when we kind of brought together like just all the different ways our conscience is formed. And I'm just so fascinated by that because, again, I think a lot of times when we get that feeling inside of like, oh, this is wrong or this is right, it is so, so deeply informed by the things that we have experienced and the things that we have seen. And it's really hard to get kind of outside of your mind and be like, what would a mom in Australia think? Or what and would I a mom in
those
China?
Are yeah. key questions.
Yes.
Right. Those are questions we don't ask ourselves enough.
Yes.
Because a lot of times whenever we're coming down super hard on somebody, whether that's in real life and you're judging her behind her back or whatever, or it's on the internet and you are like leaving that comment, you have most of the time, it feels like those people have not thought through what does this mean for the mom in China? What does this mean for the mom in rural, on a rural farm?
Yeah.
You know, you just, they were not, ask that question and oftentimes your bias will be revealed.
Yeah, you don't realize that. And so we went through like, hey, it's your family of origins, rules, personalities, values, tendency, your own relationship with your siblings, your friends, your spouse, your personality, your disposition, your trauma. I think socioeconomic status, like
that heavily,
whatever, there are norms that you feel like everyone should do this. And then you get outside of whatever that tax bracket is. And it's like, actually people have very different lives and have very different ideas of what's okay and what's not okay. Even in things like social manners and like how you greet people. And I mean, there's just, it goes on and on and on. Education and like your, what schooling you had, your denomination, your sect of Christianity, you know, your values, hobbies, talents, fears, like, you're bringing all of that to the table. And I just felt like I was so glad that we kind of dug into that. And I hope that it at least helps moms. I feel like that's the first step, is to just recognize, like, I'm not a blank slate coming to this. I actually have a lot of preformed worldviews and opinions, some of which might be right, some of which might be aligning with God, but some of which might not be. And we don't have to be threatened by digging deeper and going to the Word of God and aligning them and going, wait a second, I feel like, I mean, this is such a silly example, but like, oh, my husband always is driving, right? Whenever we're in the car together. And it can kind of feel like if I were to get in the driver's seat,
we're
in the
weird. Car,
it feels like kind of weird or, you know, not morally wrong, but just it's like, is this, you know, why am I driving? And there is literally no biblical.
We start to question, is he spiritually leading our family? You know, like suddenly he goes there.
Yeah. So I just like, that's like a tiny example of a time when your internal conscience might be like, this feels weird. This feels uncomfortable. Like, is it okay for me to drive? And it's like, there is literally no biblical, nothing about like, that is totally fine. And yet, you know, you're coming to the table with that sense of right and wrong about something that it's very cultural.
Yes. And it might even play out in the sense that maybe you see another couple where the wife drives all the time and you're kind of like, that's weird. You know, and it's like, that is a great example of just like something that is not wrong, but suddenly like maybe if there's a casting judgment or you're kind of thinking, does she wear the pants in the family? Or there's just weird thoughts that start crossing, then that's a good example of an area where your conscience is not aligned to the Word of God.
Yeah. And it's so easy to go like, okay, it's biblical because a Christian influencer that I like does it. It's biblical because the older mom at church does it. Yeah. It's biblical because that's what my mom did. And it's like, maybe not. You have to go check.
Yeah, you got to go check. Okay. Emily, what is something you've learned since writing or thinking about right now related to the topic?
Yeah, I think in counseling, something I've learned is to put my thoughts on trial, which is something I've never heard before. And so essentially, it's when I feel that feeling like I deem something good or bad or right or wrong, I take a step back and take that thought and then say, okay, what biblical evidence do I have for this? And then really try to argue it from both sides, like even play devil's advocate in my own mind. And it's amazing how sometimes I don't actually have truth or biblical evidence for something. I just feel it very strongly. And so for me, a lot of this goes back to it being hard for me to feel like I'm doing something different from other moms, or I'm not going to fit in with other moms, or I'm going to kind of break the mold of something. And yet when I put that on trial and I go, okay, let's actually take this to scripture now and to see what supports this, what doesn't. It becomes clear that it's really just about my own personal sense of right and wrong, whatever feelings my brain is telling me to have. It's not actually about the word of God. And I think that's been so clarifying for me. I don't know. It's just a random thing.
Yeah, that's good. Put your thoughts on trial.
Okay.
I think for me, I don't know. The content's always reminds me that I don't corner the market on good motherhood. I think that I have a lot of ideas of what a good mom does. And I can very quickly fall into a trap of either judging other people or self-judging in particular and feeling like, hey, I could be doing more here. I really messed up there. I didn't meet the mark there. And I think, you know, if I were to put my thoughts on trial or if I were to really like dig into that, and when I do, I see, okay, those aren't biblically commanded things. Like God isn't asking that from me and I'm the one putting the pressure on. And so, I think just the conscience has given me so much freedom in this area to kind of go back, reevaluate the things that I said I want to do, or I think I should do and feel like, hey, I have freedom to turn around or I have freedom to change. And there are actually very, very few things in this life that I'm not allowed to change and that I need to stay committed to. And there are very, I mean, God's rules and commands, like they're wide, you know, I mean, they allow for so much life to be lived within them. And I'm the one kind of putting the straitjacket on. So yeah. I think that that's what I love most about the conscience for sure. Where do you think moms are most likely to fall in error here or struggle?
You know, something we put in one of our appendices in Discerning Resources, I think that's what it was called, was this little piece that our editor actually reminded us to add in about being cautious about being in a silo with what you consume. And I think what happens is we get into echo chambers, especially online, because we tend to consume and be drawn towards content that reinforces the things that we already believe, right? And the algorithm on Instagram finds the things that we like or whatever platform you're on, and then it literally feeds you more stuff like that. And it actually, I forget what book I was reading that talked about this, that it's actually trying to feed you more and more extreme and inflammatory versions of that.
I didn't know that part.
Any type of content that inflames you or makes you feel strong emotions or is extreme at all causes you to stay on the platform longer because you are anxious about it.
Yeah.
And so the algorithm is literally saying, okay, whatever your belief is, whatever thing that you're interested in, okay, it's going to take that and then it's going to give you more of the same and then it's going to give you more extreme versions of the same until you go further and further down that path. And I think that it explains why it's online things feel so polarized and so, you know, separated. And then yet you can go to like a park with another mom that you have differences with and you can have like a very nice, normal conversation. Yeah. And it doesn't feel so crazy, even though you're making different decisions. And so I think while yes, there are risks and potential dangers of like exposing yourself to views that are potentially unbiblical or, you know, are outside of kind of a Christian worldview. On the other hand, I do think we have a danger in just like hearing too much of the same thing all of the time and never stepping back to go, wait a second, have I like examined other possibilities? And not even in a sense of like outside of Christianity, but just even within Christianity, within whatever the gray areas are, have I heard other arguments? Have I, you know, we just don't even realize like we're literally, especially on social media, only consuming one perspective oftentimes, and another perspective is immediately demonized or it's immediately just deemed as like, this is awful. I can't believe people think that. And you know, if you were to actually read what that person thought, I don't know. I'm talking in circles.
No, you're not. I feel like, that's all very, very true. And it's something to be really cautionary towards because I think the reason why we look for views that are same as ours is because we can often get them confused with what's biblical.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big danger, right? Is that our conscience becomes the same as the Holy Spirit and what we feel is right. And we're holding others to that standard, when that's not what the Lord asked for. And so, I totally agree that I think that's a massive danger online. And even in the books that we read, the TV that we consume, just to be very aware of kind of what goes in is what comes out, but also like you need kind of a balanced diet at some level. And even as I think you expose yourself to different viewpoints and ideas, I think that's one way that the Lord works to recalibrate your conscience and to slowly come over to see, like in our Halloween example, you know, there's one of the moms is kind of like seeing her, all of her friends do it and kind of feeling like this, you know, why do I feel this way? And the other way too, like they're learning from one another, you know, why one mom might not participate in Halloween and why a mom might say, hey, this is okay for our family, and seeing that it's an area of freedom. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot. And sometimes I'll even make myself read a post or read something that I'm like, I don't think I agree with this, but I want to read it because I don't want to be someone who gets so, you know, puts on blinders so strong and that maybe I'm missing something. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, Laura, so if a mom wanted to do one to two things right now to help her grow in and apply these things, here are some ideas.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing is just starting with prayer, you know? It's slowing down enough in your life to say, Lord, reveal to me areas where my conscience is not aligned with your word. And God will reveal that, like we talked about, through things that you consume, conversation with friends, through just studying the Bible and gaining a more clear understanding of what God's commands really are. He can do that through just a variety of ways. And even just like you feeling the Holy Spirit prick your heart and saying, oh, wait, should I question this? You know, and that's where with our conscience, we want to always look at it as like a little yellow flag to question and look underneath. So I would start with prayer and then also thinking through just, this is vulnerable, but like think through areas of sin that you have tendencies toward in your life and start to ask yourself like, hey, why do I tend to go that way? Why do I feel more comfortable in these sins and not in those sins? Consider like, you know, what does repentance look like for me in those areas? And how do I turn and do a full 180 away from those things? I think that oftentimes too, like our conscience, or we know that the conscience can become dulled. And so that means whenever you ignore it repeatedly over and over, while it might have fired off, you know, the first time that you got drunk, maybe three or four times in, it suddenly, it's a little bit more quiet and you're not hearing it so much. And yet I think logically you'll know, okay, that's a sin, but I'm just ignoring. I don't feel that angst anymore. Yeah. And so it's just good to reevaluate those things. And I think those happen in a lot of areas of life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got some good action items, and I know we keep mentioning this, but seriously, in the Becoming a Gospel Mom workbook, we have so many questions that work you through this in like a very methodical and detailed way. And I remember one of my favorite things we did, and I think it was this section, was we took an idea, something that you hold really, really strongly, and you feel like, no, this fires me up inside. Yeah. I have really strong motherhood feelings about this. And we kind of put it through a sieve and kind of made you prove it, like prove that it's biblical. And so anyways, we have like a lot of good stuff in there that just makes you think. And we're so excited to keep hearing about what God is teaching you as you go through the book and you follow along in this series.
My name is Rachel Earp, and I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because I have overcome many challenges and obstacles with raising a special needs child. I have a baby boy with Down syndrome, and my mission and heart is to help encourage and inspire other mamas who raising children with a disability and may feel discouraged at times, and just how to rely upon Jesus for our strength and comfort. I've been following you guys for a long time and so appreciate your positivity, your encouraging content, and just the work and ministry that you're doing to help empower other women and mamas out there.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.